We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at
Hey, Wispies, it's Denise.
And Nikita.
Welcome back to Wine and Whispers. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
So today we are going to talk about an uncomfortable conversation, but mm-hmm. It's, you know, they happen and they need to happen. We're going to talk about trauma dumping. Mm-hmm. What does it look like? How do you support it? How do you not support it? How do you set boundaries?
That part.
We're going to dig deep, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's uncork and unwind.
So trauma dumping, which I'm sure we've all experienced at some point or another in our life, but trauma dumping is the act of sharing traumatic experiences with others without regard to their feelings or the appropriateness of the situation that you're currently in. Trauma dumping is a type of emotional dumping that can be harmful to friendships and mental health. Your mental health and your friend's mental health.
Yeah.
It's one of those where you don't also necessarily know when you're doing it.
Yeah.
You're just living in that moment and you're talking to your friend and you're sharing an experience that you're having or you did have or whatever it may be. And you're just talking, right? And you don't realize that as you're talking, you could be crossing that boundary because you don't know what your friend has necessarily gone through or right. The person that you're venting to. So the conversation that you're having is triggering the other person at the same time. And then they feel stuck because they understand what you're going through and they don't want to stop you from releasing that emotion that you have from within. But they're now stirring up these emotions within themselves.
Yeah.
And they can't escape it because now they could be reliving it. Oh, it's such a heavy thought and process.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one got me a little stumped. And you know, I could talk.
Yeah.
Because you want to show up as a good friend, mm-hmm. family member, or whatever have you, and you want to support the individual.
Absolutely.
Vice versa. If you are the one that is trauma dumping, you're literally looking probably somewhere to vent, right? Because you trust the space you're in, you trust the person yes. you're with, and vice versa, they trust you
yes.
to be able to do that. And it's like, okay, the fuck I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't use shit, guys.
Good job. We're not getting better, but we're
right.
We're rolling.
But literally, like, what the fuck do I do with this?
Absolutely. And how do I manage this? And how do I know, how do I recognize when I'm trauma dumping? How do I stop trauma dumping, right? And is it ever acceptable outside of talking to a professional? That's what it is. A professional gets paid to do that. That's their job. That's their description. You go there to trauma dump because they're supposed to help you get past it,
right?
Is it ever acceptable to do it outside of that setting?
I want to say yes and no.
Okay.
The reason why I say yes is, again, we all have our moments where we lean on someone we trust to mm-hmm. be able to vent. But we should go there with the mindset knowing that they are limited on what they can do and okay. support and how they can provide us.
Okay.
If you are going there with the mindset that they're going to be able to eradicate and or fix your situations, that's not the space that you should be using it for.
No. That's taking advantage of the space.
Correct. Vice versa, you as the person who may be listening in when mm-hmm. that person is venting should know your boundaries and set your limitations, right? And I say that in the sense where you can be the listening ear for that person, but you can initiate the conversation if you know it's going to come, right? If I come to you and rather flip it.
I'm coming to you.
You're coming to me.
Hey.
And I can already sense what's about to happen. It's about to be trauma dumping.
Just so you guys know, I have a background in counseling. So I utilize it when I can, but I also know when to play counselor, when to play friend.
She did the tip of the glasses to get ready.
Okay. Initiate the conversation was, hey, I see something's on your mind. Or however you talk to your girlfriend or friend or
whatever, maybe.
Whomever it is, however you talk to that person. Are you just want me to listen? Or we wanna look for solutions.
Yes.
Right? Because then that will help navigate how they trauma dump on you.
Yes. It's so real.
Mm-hmm.
It's whenever I do the same thing. I don't know if I talked to you about this already, but if I have a friend who's coming and they say, yo, I just need to sit and chat with you. All right, let's talk. Let's stop. Before we dive in, I need to know how you want this conversation to be handled.
Right.
I can be here, an ear, I'm there. I'm a side with you. I'm a hype you up with what the cause may be. Mm-hmm. And I can just support you that way. But if you need me to fix something or help you find the solution,
right,
I need to put a different hat on.
Right.
So I wish that every conversation started that way, because if they approach that conversation and they were aware of it,
mm-hmm.
You avoid the whole trauma dumping, and then you avoid triggering your friend or whomever you're talking to, the homies, right?
Right.
You avoid triggering it, and then you've still created this safe space. You haven't harmed anyone's mental health, and you haven't harmed your own safety, triggering someone to not want to be able to talk to you in the future.
Right. It's hard because your instinctual reaction is to be able to fix, jump in. How can I help?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes all you have to do is sit on your hands, and it's hard. It's so hard, and you're going to have to sit on your hands, and you're just going to have to listen, because sometimes that's all a person wants or needs. I typically try to start conversations where I'm like, I just need to vent. And that's exactly what it is. I'm not looking for your response.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking for your opinions or what you think I should do or what I should have done.
Yes.
I just need you to hear me out. And sometimes, a lot of the times, when you do that, or you either hold space or you're the one that's venting, as you're going through the motions and you're reliving it or whatever it is, trauma that you're trying to express,
yes,
you start to recognize, map it out, work it out in your head. One of the best experiences I have is when I have my sessions personally with my counselor.
Mm-hmm.
She sits in silence. At first, it was so annoying and it was so frustrating. And I'm like, why the fuck is she not talking back to me?
Because you want her to talk with you and to engage.
Right. I want her to talk to me and tell me, no, you shouldn't have done it. Oh, they were fucked up for doing that. And that's not what her job was.
No.
Her job was to sit there, let it sink in.
Mm. Let you stew.
Let me stew with it. And then, and as you sit in there, because you're going to get uncomfortable with the silence,
yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And there, you as the person who may not be, who's listening, you're going to be uncomfortable too, but you have to stand strong.
You got to.
You got to do that 5-second pause. Let me tell you something about that 5-second pause.
Tell me about it.
I got to get comfortable for y'all.
She had to get close.
That 5-second pause, within that 5 seconds, that person is rethinking everything, and they are automatically, within the first 5 to 8 seconds, start talking like, okay, well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Or maybe this is what the situation should have been. Well, you know what? I just said that out loud and I hear how that sounds. Sometimes that's all you need is to take that that's what it is, reflection.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to have that introspective reflection. Oh, look at me using words and not stumbling on them. It makes a world of a difference for them to recognize and start finding reconciliation or solutions to what the situation is. And that alone, that's support.
So when you're trauma dumping, right?
Yeah.
It typically happens to be one-sided. So as your friend is talking to you, they're venting, trauma dumping, giving you all of this on your plate that you were not expecting. They're probably sitting in silence or giving you the, So they're kind of more or less in silence.
Mm-hmm.
But that person who's trauma dumping is just going.
Mm-hmm.
And going.
And you got to let them. But you got to let them. Because think about
it. That's the hard part.
It is. But when you're going through it and you just want to want to scream, you want to shout.
Yes.
Literally. And I'm not trying to be funny or trying to sing a song.
No. Oh. Mm-hmm. I found it now. I wasn't there.
that is a release. It is a form of release. It's a form of them being able to work through that emotion. What that term is, I don't remember.
That's okay.
Because it's been some time since I was counseling. But it is a form of their working through the process.
Yes. So I definitely understand and I do get that. But now let's really dive into this issue. I don't want you to trauma dump on me. Right? I'm your friend and I want to be there to support you in the best way that I can. But maybe as a female, I'm going through my period. Maybe as a human being, I just had a death in the family. Maybe it's that I just got an awful review at work and I'm struggling. Again, you don't know what that other person's going through, right? And I mentally can't be in that capacity and I don't have the bandwidth to help and support you in the way that you want me to.
Right.
So I can't be trauma dumped on. That's the problem, right? Everyone, sometimes we're selfish when we're venting and we go to our friends and we never take into consideration what they're going through.
Right.
Because we're so self-involved in our own problem right now that we can't even acknowledge that.
Or see past.
Yes. You can go to your friend's house and see that they have food cartons everywhere, but you're so self-absorbed and in it, it's not even a thought in your brain and you can't even recognize the fact that they're typically a very clean individual.
Right. They may be going through some type of depression or something. Yeah.
Yes. So it brought an interesting idea to my side, into my brain when I think about it, because as I sit here and realize, I want to know both sides. I want to know that I don't want to trauma dump on anybody. Unless I get approval, because I talk about it and I ask.
Right.
But then if someone comes and talks to me and they start trauma dumping, I need to know how to get out of that situation. All very hard things to do, because how do you avoid that conversation as a trauma dumper?
Right.
And then how do you run away from the trauma dumping?
Yeah. And you want to show up authentically. You don't want to seem as if you
aren't a true friend,
that you're dismissing somebody, that you are inconsiderate of what they're experiencing at the time, and it's just only about you.
Right.
It's a thin line.
It's a hard line.
Okay. I'm just wondering that when you're in the moment, is it even possible? Is there a capacity to even recognize that before you proceed on either side?
So I did some research.
Of course.
That's what I do.
I love it.
So if I'm the receiving end of this, I found some ways that you can escape the situation without causing harm.
Okay.
But you also have to know who you're talking to. That's it, right? I'm assuming if you're already in that situation where someone is trauma dumping on you, you must be very close. You must have a great relationship. You must know each other well enough that you feel safe in that environment to trauma dump. And then the conversation that you do have where you excuse yourself or create that safe space, you know, it then isn't as harmful because they know where you're coming from. That's my assumption. And with that assumption is what I found. So they said some strategies to avoid being trauma dumped on is to be direct and honest with that person. If you're feeling overwhelmed by your friend sharing, you have to kindly let them know that you're not in the headspace to have this conversation right now, and you can't handle the heavy topics of what they're bringing to your table and putting on your plate.
Okay.
If you can't get out of the situation necessarily, you have to set a time limit on the situation of the engagement of what you're doing. So if someone calls you and you feel it, hey, okay, well, I got to get off the phone in 10 minutes because I got to go do something. My pot's boiling, whatever, right?
My pot's boiling, sorry. I haven't heard that phrase in a while.
That's very West Indian.
It is.
Okay. So set that time limit for you so that you don't feel like you're going into an hour-long conversation. Yeah. You've set 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it could be that you feel safe enough without your trigger also happening. they said to validate their feelings, you know, very true, acknowledge their experiences while gently setting the boundary for you, like assure them that you care, you're there for them, and you understand, but I need to prioritize my own emotional well-being at this time as well, and this right now is not prioritizing me right now, and I'm going to get sucked in.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, though.
No.
That's just me personally. I wouldn't say that. No, I'm just saying, I personally wouldn't say all of that, just because if the person's trauma dumping and I say, I need to prioritize myself first. Mm-hmm. That's another trigger.
That's another trauma. Yes. You got to word it right. I mean, that's not the right word.
Yeah. Not saying what you're saying is wrong.
But you have to find the way to talk to that person.
Yeah.
You can always suggest professional help that, unfortunately, I don't have.
Absolutely.
I don't have the tools to help you right now. But maybe if you find someone, they'll be able to help you in a better capacity than I can. Mm-hmm. And then they said, offer alternative ways to support. Like, I can't talk about this right now, but I'm happy to go on a walk to just clear some empty space, get in a new setting, all those good things. They said to use I statements, which I've never heard of before. I mean, I have, let's rephrase, but I haven't ever thought about using it in this setting. So an I statement saying, I feel overwhelmed when you share very detailed traumatic experiences with the example. And that makes sense. You're now expressing how you're feeling in the situation, not dumping on them, not saying that they're not invalid or anything, but that I am feeling this way in this moment. And then the last one is to know when to step back, which of course I think is the hardest one to do.
Yeah.
If you're already in the situation, you're stuck. How do you get out?
See, you went, all of those steps I think are really good ideas, but I also, in my mind, while you're saying them, I'm processing, I need to know who my audience is when I say these things.
You do.
Because not everyone is going to be receptive to any one of those.
No.
Like, I can just picture having a conversation with a particular person and using an I statement, and they'll still take it personal.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You know what I mean?
Every person you talk to, you have to approach it differently.
Yeah, which is hard as a person who has to navigate that. And then as the person who is dumping, I'm going to be left feeling some kind of way like, oh, well, you know what? This is exactly why I didn't want to come to this person, because I knew they were going to brush me off. Mm-hmm. Because now you, the tie that you did have, or the level of comfort that they did see in you, it's severed a little bit.
Right.
Not to say that they won't come back. They just may alter what they're going to share.
It may be that they're not talking about a trauma. They're talking about the fluff of their day.
Right.
Which isn't what you want to build with your friendship, right? It's something that you want to maintain. It's just so hard finding that line and being honest with each other to be supportive.
Yeah. What I would think of, and I think we've done it too, and I think we need to have another one where one friend, if we're doing in a setting of friends, right? It can be in the setting with anybody, but I'm thinking in the setting of friends. Where because I think it was the three of us, right? And two out of the three of us have kids. We left the kids. we came to the house of the friend that does not have kids, and we literally were just taking turns sharing, this is what's going on with me. This is what's going on. And I don't think that people that don't do it, they do it. Like I've seen and heard that there's different girlfriend groups.
Yes. Okay.
Or friend groups. I'm thinking girlfriends because we're females.
Females.
And they set this time aside
to do this.
To do this. And it's literally a no holds bar, no judgment, no nothing, safe zone.
Just come and talk.
Let's just come and talk, right? No one's looking for solutions. No. If they come up, they come up. If they don't, that's fine. I got it off my chest. I'm no longer holding it, because you do hold that, right? Mm-hmm. I think though that's a great start to navigating that, to being able to release that, right? And then the pressure's off, because there's more than one person there.
You're right. You don't feel so alone.
Yeah. The pressure's not there for only one person to hear everything.
Yes, I agree.
So that's
creating that situation. Mm-hmm. And again, it's all about knowing your audience. Like you said, you have to know who we're talking to. You have to know your friends that you're with, and as you talk about those situations, that you already know that there is already a safe space, that it's going to be okay, there is no judgment here, and you're just having a conversation. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's also realizing in that situation as well who those true friends are, right? Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to have one that's going to be to try to lighten up the mood.
Right? Which is not what you need.
No, it's not what I need at the moment. I'm a laugh, but I'm still going to be like, that doesn't solve my situation, though.
Right. Like, haha, yeah, yeah, I get it, thanks.
And then you have the one who's going to criticize. And I don't want it to be a double-edged, I like that word, double-edged sword. That's two for two.
Get it?
Wait, what?
You got two for two.
No, I said it before, and I'm saying it now.
What did you say?
I said it before, okay. Double-edged sword.
You did.
I did.
Okay.
It's okay. Because you go there knowing that it's a safe space, but you also need to understand the vulnerability of being in that open space and who you're opening that space to. So be prepared for the criticisms. Be prepared for the jokes. Be prepared for all of that.
Correct. Oh.
Yeah.
We have to just go in and just be honest, right, with each other as well. Going back to the previous conversation, you're going to say that I'm here for X, Y, Z. I just need to talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
Being honest with them as they walk into that situation. I love the fact that you had that conversation. The girls got together with your wine, your food, all of it, because you all need all those things. You need to cry and tears and all those beautiful things, right?
Right.
So setting that safe space, honestly, you all knew going into it what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a solution fix. It wasn't that we're coming together to have a problem and we're going to fix this problem. It was just going to sit and chat. And you all trauma dumped, right?
Yeah.
I felt that. Yeah. It was real.
Yeah. It was real.
And that's what it is. Just going and having that safe space and knowing, going in knowingly that it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start trauma dumping and the other person isn't aware of it's happening, it's like a slap in the face almost.
Yeah. It's like you get warped and like literally feel like you're being sucked into a black hole.
Yes. Because
you ever saw, what was it? Get Lost? No, Get Lost? It's not Get Lost. What is it?
I don't know. Lost in Space and Time.
Nope.
Okay.
Never mind.
All right.
It's the one where the guy, he hears the tea and he just gets lost in space when he's diving.
Why do I?
Get Out. That's what it's called.
No.
Yes. So, okay. That's what it reminds me when I say being warped into space. I say all that to say that, but because there's one thing about me, when I speak and my mind goes into the visual.
Yes.
So as I'm speaking, I'm visually seeing what I'm also saying too. So that is why I went there. In terms of black space, all I can think about is Get Out and the guy literally is falling into an abyss.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly what you're going to be left feeling like, hold on, how did I get sucked into this?
Yes. Because you don't know how you got there. And then as you're sitting and you're talking about it, you don't know how to escape out of that situation.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to hurt any feelings.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like you're swimming and you're not making any headway.
You're in quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to put you in quicksand. If I put you in quicksand, you just let me know and just say, hey, girl.
You have not. But I have, because in my corporate job,
mm-hmm.
I did use my counseling hat a lot.
Yeah.
A lot, a lot.
It comes to help you in a lot of situation corporate.
No, that was my job.
What?
My job was counseling.
Oh,
not
fun.
No, it is fun. So I was responsible for different programs for adult learners.
Okay.
And they would call, you would do check-ins, case management, right? You check in and you would see how they're doing, what's going on. And when you would do check-ins, these are adults going back to school who haven't been to school for a long time. So they are navigating this whole nuance for the first time. That's the backstory as to what I'm trying to get to say is they would call and they would trauma dump.
You'd word vomit.
And I had to be very cautious.
How to navigate.
I'm calling to see how you're doing academically.
Not personally,
but it does tie into it because that now affects your academics.
Absolutely.
Right? So when they're trauma dumping, you had to be able to have the sensitivity to understand, you know, mm-hmm. what? They're navigating this. They don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Guide them a little bit and then reshift. So sometimes that was hard. It came off a little too professional.
Okay.
And then other times I would have team members
mm-hmm.
who didn't know how to stop.
And they would just go.
And they would be on the phone with somebody and can never get a word in edgewise.
Oh, no. That's not okay.
Yes.
You have to learn how to navigate that situation, especially in that professional setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember doing the same thing. I worked in HR. I definitely had this open door policy. My door was never closed. You can always come in and talk to me. So I had people who would just come in and sit in my chair. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had a therapist chair some days. They would just sit and they would come. And next thing I know, I'd say, hey, what's going on?
And that's all they needed.
Word vomit. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it went. And it was one of those where like, okay, I have to sit and I have to realign my thought process because I thought I was going to get, I'm good. I'm just a little tired.
Right.
But instead I got
X, Y, and Z
right.
is going on with me. My kids this, my mama that, my husband this, my wife this.
Everything. Mm-hmm. I'm going through X, Y, and Z with my family in Peru. Like, a lot.
I just found out I was sick.
Oh, that one. I've been through that one.
Yeah, that's hard.
That is hard.
Because how do you comfort someone knowing you can't do nothing?
Can't do anything. I am not a doctor. I cannot help you. So it was one of those where I would just sit and I always remember just taking that grace and letting them talk for a while, mm-hmm. but then realizing that I got to circumvent them and give them the tools that I was able to give them, whether it was, let's talk about your insurance options and what you can do with insurance. Let's talk about the bereavement plan that we have. Let's talk about our health advocate, talk about employee assistance programs that we have, all those things, right? Mm-hmm. And how they could benefit and move forward with whatever their problem would be, you know?
Oh, that sounds like us because we would refer them to our
whatever.
We'd refer them to the we had a benefit department that was for mental health.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's exactly what we had. So I would, here's the number. You should definitely call them. I would double check to make sure that they had our health insurance first, like all those things so that I can make sure they can go get the tools that they needed.
Right.
And then I always, of course, was the kind person that said you can always come back and talk.
Oh. Because that's what we're supposed to say.
Because that's what I'm
saying. Even though that's not what we
want. That's not what I wanted. I'll be so honest. That's not what I wanted. And because a lot of those times, I will never forget. I will never, ever forget. I was working. I had recently lost my grandfather. And I was not the happy, bubbly person that I was known to be. Mm-hmm. Because whenever I walk in, even if it's 9 a.m, I'm faking it till I make it. Hey, everybody. And I had bubbles. Like people used to say that bubbles used to like come out of me.
Right.
So someone came up to me and they were talking about a death in their family.
So now you're out of character being triggered.
I was so bad. And I just remember, I feel like I couldn't talk. I told them I had to go and I felt so bad. I was like, I'm so sorry. I have a meeting that I have to get that starts in 5 minutes. I have to prepare. So out of character for me, right? And I saw the look on that person's face.
Like, how dare she walk away? She's not like that. What did I do?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was triggered by that trauma dump. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, I escaped it. I had to at that point because otherwise I would have been full-blown tears.
Mm-hmm. But you were polite about it.
I was. I as best I possibly could, right? It was just uncharacteristically not Nikita, the problem. So then this person, they did not come to the office. Like, this is someone who used something almost every day, every other day. 3 weeks went by.
Because they were in their feelings.
When they came back and we had a conversation, I explained that I was going through something and that I just wasn't in the capacity to talk about it and to talk regarding anything about it.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to catch up.
Yes, which I was so appreciative because when we finally got to that point,
I was like, oh, sorry.
Yes, because they realized that they were the trigger. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about it and they apologized. They said, I'm so sorry. I did not mean for me to be the trigger in this situation. And I did not mean to cause you harm or any type of way. But thank you for letting me know so that we can move past it. It was a hard conversation.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So that made me also think now how to, because as I sat and I thought about this person, I realized that I don't want to ever be that person.
Right.
That I'm causing these triggers. So I realized that I have to do better in my own self as I go in my conversations with people, mm-hmm. to ensure that I'm making it obvious that I'm going to be trauma dumping on them and if it's okay. Making it obvious that I just want to talk and I don't want a solution. Mm-hmm. It's also a point where I got back into journaling.
Mm.
Because I used to journal very often. I used to write poems, all of these things.
Right.
I stopped because corporate America got me tired.
Right. They drained you.
God, they did. So then I started journaling again.
Mm.
I realized that I should probably pick up my piano again. Not physically. Literally pick up my piano again. And start playing again.
Okay.
Maybe I should start doing my poems again.
Okay.
Right? I also then realized that I wasn't just enjoying the things that I liked to enjoy. Like walking outside. Isn't that sad?
Yeah. Because you're just carrying it around. And just, you don't even know how it affects your day-to-day.
You don't. You don't realize how me being bubbly all the time was me just pushing through my pain.
Hmm. Because say that one more time for me, please. Because I just need everyone in the back to hear that one. Because I'm pretty sure you're not the only one.
No. So me being bubbly and putting on this facade, which I was very good at, was me pushing through that pain. Because I didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I didn't want to face it.
I didn't want to face it. Oh, that is a hard-hitting one.
You didn't want to face it.
I didn't want to be honest with myself. And that's also something that it really sat with me and I really thought about it. And I realized that I needed to be honest with myself. And I need to be honest in the things that are affecting my personality and my self-care and how I feel inside. I need to be honest with myself about it. I couldn't just go talk to people about it because I don't know what they're going through. Because mm-hmm. they could have that same facade on that I have on.
Well, I'm going to flip it on you, right?
I'm ready.
I know someone, or knew someone. He's still alive, but knew,
I'm
meaning
glad
they
he's
were
still alive.
Right, meaning they are no longer, you know, part of my day to day.
Okay.
There are people out there that are so traumatized and pushing through that they create a faux version of who they are and start to believe it.
Wait, what?
There are some people.
Yes.
That are so traumatized and push through their trauma that they create a facade or a full version of themselves that they begin to believe it.
That they think it's real. That's scary. So this person became a whole new person. It's Batman.
I don't know if it's Batman, but yeah.
But that's...
You've never heard of those people who lie so much they begin to believe their own lies?
So... I've read about it.
It's true.
I've never experienced it.
I have.
Oh.
I had to work with this person. Okay. And I'm being very cautious how I say it because if I say certain things will trigger where time and space, and I don't need to do that. I worked with this person and part of my role was to have one-on-ones.
Okay. That's normal.
That can be any part of my world.
Yes, I can be anywhere. I've had one-on-ones everywhere.
Right. And the way they interacted with their other colleagues.
Okay.
Versus when they interacted with me, they were two different people.
Oh.
Two different people, two different, I'm going to show up as this person for you.
Oh.
And then when I caught on to the buzz of how the interactions were different.
Yes.
It was like, you're Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh. That's scary.
Yeah.
So this person just didn't want to admit to themselves what was causing them the pain.
Right. And I don't know if the version I got was the real version. And I don't know if the version their colleagues were getting was the real.
You didn't know. Oh, that's a scary, scary idea that you created a whole person. Someone can create a whole persona.
Off of trauma.
Off of trauma. And never deal with it.
Well, I would for their sake, I would hope at this point now, because
they've dealt with it.
They've dealt with it. This was
some time ago.
Yeah. Let me not age myself.
Yep, that's right. We're still beautiful.
Because I'm young, everyone.
I'm super young. We're both 22.
As we say, we're millennials.
You didn't hear that part earlier, okay? We're 22.
But yes, it's trauma. So with trauma, it's one of those things. You could either be in denial or you can be in full reflection of like, damn, I need help, right?
It's the I need help part.
So the only thing you can do as a real good friend, family member, whatever have you, is not necessarily push the narrative of seeking assistance on them, unless they're willing.
Yep, we are not licensed. Nope. We do not have a degree.
Nope.
Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your friends. Realize that if you do need to go and talk to someone, your friends, about it, realize that they aren't a therapist too, right? Have that knowledge, have that acceptance. Be honest with them in the sense that you're telling them that you need to dump some heavy stuff on them. This sounds so awful. You need to talk about something traumatic. You're not dumping anything heavy. You are talking about something traumatic with them, and if they are in the right headspace to talk about it with you.
Also, from either side, are you looking to vent?
Yes.
I'm just looking to vent. Are you looking for solutions? I'm looking for solutions. I'm looking for advice. I'm looking for opinions. And that's okay. That will steer the whole entire conversation, guide them. And the only thing you can do is offer suggestions if you're in the one listening.
Mm-hmm.
Offer the suggestions, but do not take it personal if they do not take it.
Right. And that's okay if they don't take it. Absolutely. Just know that you were saying something from your genuine self, being honest with them and coming from a caring place.
Yeah. And I know everything we're saying sounds like common sense, like duh. But let me tell you something. It is real. Going through the motions, or you're in that scenario, sometimes your fight or flight isn't there.
Yes. Your flight is there and your fight isn't there to help support, right? Your brain is telling you to, what am I doing in this situation? How the fuck did I get here?
Yeah.
So yes. We're talking about it just because it's happened to us. I know it's happened to me. Yeah. Shit on it. It's definitely happened to me where I sat in a situation and I said, the fuck?
Yeah. Well, I'm forced to, because now I'm at the stage where my daughter is experiencing whatever she's experiencing, and I have to be active listening.
Yes.
And even though she's venting to me, she doesn't want my advice.
She don't.
Not one bit.
She just
want to
talk.
She may say she want it.
She don't.
She does not want it. And so, no shame at all.
No.
Like, she has help. She has assistance. I have assistance, because sometimes I need to talk about the things that you know, I love everyone dearly, but I got to talk about y'all, because guess what? Seriously.
It is so true.
I show up in a way where I don't realize that there's a lot of expectations on my end. And sometimes when I say I can't do it, it's almost like, well, you mean you can't do it? Because I can't do it.
Right.
And it's like a whole nuance to people. So I get both ends of the spectrum and understand. Sometimes people just want to vent.
Yep, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Let it be.
But also, just recognize, you know, your capacity, what works for you and that person, the dynamic that you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, it's okay to support, even if you're not supporting in the way that you think you are.
Right.
See you later, Wispies.
Bye, Wispies. Hey, Wispies. Thanks for joining us for another hard-hitting girl talk. If you have a topic or question for us, send us a whisper at info@wineandwhispersclub.com. That's whispers with an S. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like and subscribe on your podcast listening platforms. See you next time, Wispies!